Hey everyone, thanks for joining us again today. Tim Karskadden here at Christian Center Shreveport on our daily podcast here on our Podbean app and the Apple Podcast app as well. Working on deliverance this week. This week we're talking about hindrances to your deliverance. So let's get some more keys today. Welcome back. You came back again. Thank you so much. This week again, we're talking about hindrances to your deliverance. Hopefully we've helped you with some keys on some things that you can recognize that are keeping you back from your full deliverance. You know, I think it's so wise to do what Paul tells us, to not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. When we have invited demonic activity into our life through our behavior, through our sin nature, sometimes through our family bloodline, then it's our responsibility to recognize them and find them. You know, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the double-edged sword can look through all the sinews, through all the bones, through everything, and find the thoughts and intents of men's heart. So, you know, we say that, oh, well, I can use that for other people. Why not use it for yourself? He is the double-edged sword. Lord, look in my heart and find the areas that I have, that I don't realize that there are intentions in my heart that are wrong, and I want to know them. See, that's that deep relationship. You know, can you say that to your spouse if you're married, or to a close friend? Look, do you see anything in my life that I don't see? You know, and do you realize that if they love you, they're going to tell you that, not as like, oh, good, this is my chance to tell you. I've been wanting to tell you all along how bad you are. God's surely not going to do that. Why don't you ask God to do that? David prayed, forgive my hidden sins and my willful ones as well. He was asking God, in a sense, please, I got stuff I don't even know is there. Please show me, you know, in any way you can. And so I think that's important if we're going to be free, that we have revelation. I can't get rid of something I don't have revelation about. Now, there are times that I'm willfully sinning. You know, that's an iniquity usually. And I've got to deal with that. It's transgression before the Lord, but I've got to deal with it. And we've been talking about topics yesterday. We had some big ones yesterday, talking about cutting soul ties. Well, today let's talk about the inability to confess specific sins. You know, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Confess. Do not believe false teaching that says he wasn't talking to the church. He was talking to the church. So we do confess sins. There are many that believe that that's a defeatist mentality. It is not. It shows our frailty, and in our weakness, he is made strong. It's a beautiful gift from the Lord to confess. And he doesn't know anyway. And we need to come before him. God doesn't necessarily expect us to confess of every individual sin. Hey, there's not enough time and day to cover that one. That ever, you know, any sin you've ever committed. But there are times that there are specific sins that must be brought out into open. And until it's acknowledged and confessed, God will, in a sense, withhold the cleansing that you need, the forgiveness that you're going to get from it, and the cleansing that you need. And it's not his issue, it's your issue. How many of us have little pet sins that we know are wrong, and we're just abusing grace? We're using grace as an occasion for the flesh, as Paul tells us in Galatians. And we just don't, we want to be free because we know it's wrong, but we don't want to confess it because we're afraid to confess it when we won't get to keep it. You know, that's just crazy, but we do that. You know, David, when he was convicted of his sins of adultery and murder, you know, he said, my sin is ever before me, Psalm 51:3. You know, he recognized the horror of his sin, and it had separated him from God. And his only way to find peace and to have that deep relationship with God is to bring that sin into the open by being with a specific confession. Look, it's your loss for not confessing. What you feel many times is that if you confess it and lay it before the Lord, the exchange with the Lord will be less. You know what I'm saying? The pleasure that you're getting from that thing, you don't think God's grace and his love and his gifting, his abundance is greater than that pleasure. That's a prophetic word for somebody that's listening right now. you've believed that sin, say whatever it is, it's pleasing your flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it is. And you feel like, if I give that to him, then where am I going to find the pleasure that I feel right now from doing this thing? Okay? That is a lie from the pits of hell. I want to say that right now, that the Lord's going to give you something greater. He's going to exchange and give you beauty for ashes, you know, the oil of gladness. Let me tell you what, when you get with the Lord, there's nothing better. You know, people who used to be alcoholics and they experience Jesus in his fullness and literally get lit up on his spirit, they say, this does nothing compared to what the world offered me, that alcohol or that drug or whatever. This is so much better. Man, the best part is the cost is not as great, right? You don't have the hangover or the problem, the money that's gone, the poverty spirit, the lying spirit that comes with all those things, because they're open doors to more demonic spirits. You know, it may be the sin that opened, you up to this demon in the first place is the very thing that you are holding on to, and you got to get rid of that demon. You know, and if you're not one to get rid of them, then God can't get rid of them for you. You've got to ask. You know, we've got to get to that place where we confess the name of the Lord. I had one guy, we were praying for him on the street one time about he wanted to be free of drugs, da da da. And so we started praying with him, and we asked him to confess the name of Jesus. You know, and we tried to lead him in prayer. And when you say, now say, Jesus, please set me free. And he'd say, may God set me free. And then we tried to rephrase it again. No, say Jesus. And he couldn't. Because, see, that demon wouldn't let him confess Jesus' name, because he knew if he did, that demon would have to go. And the fact was, I think he had a right to stay in that guy, because the guy didn't want to be free. Because he was asking us for money for food. And he knew that if he prayed this little prayer, we'd give him money for food and so forth. But I saw it wasn't real. You know, he wasn't wanting to be free. So we have to get in that place where what the Lord wants is that we want to be free, and we have to confess that sin. You know, if you've ever had an abortion, or you've ever done something horrible to somebody or hurt somebody in some deep way, and you've never confessed it, we've got to confess these sins. You know, if you got shame on you and you never confessed the sin that caused you to have the shame. Okay. Sometimes people aren't upset with their sin. They maybe get upset that they got caught in their sin. I've seen that before many times as well. So we want to be free, right? We want to be free of those things completely. When God requires the confession of some specific sin, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal it. There's no doubt. After all, he's the one that convicts us of our sin, right? And, you know, there are specific sins that need to be confessed. And, they're the Ten Commandments. There you go. There's plenty right there that need to be confessed if you don't know what to confess. But I'm talking about bitterness, anger. You know, what about it? What if anger is the way you control people? And if I confess I got the sin of anger, then how am I going to control people? Then I want to be susceptible and vulnerable. I had one guy who was on drugs, and he did it not so much just to get high. He was a workaholic, and he wanted to make a lot of money, so he took a lot of drugs that would keep him up for days and give him energy every day so he could work harder and longer. So when he was trying to get free, I remember I was talking to him one time, and he hated it. He said, man, 5 o'clock, I'm exhausted. I said, well, welcome to the real world, dude. You know, but he didn't want that. Well, I can't do that. He said, I can't. I got to work harder, work longer. See, so, you know, his motive wasn't pure. He wanted to be free, but he didn't want the consequences of having to live a normal life. Okay. I can go on about that. So we want to get to that place that we confess those sins. All right. I'm going to cover one more topic probably today, and then we'll do one more tomorrow. The topic today now is to make sure that what Derek calls it in the book, not separated by water baptism. You know, being baptized in the water is so important. It's an outward act that we have completed our salvation walk. and we received it by faith in the Christ atonement. People who has believed but not been baptized, they're incomplete. I don't know how else to put it. That's the way Derek puts it. And complete salvation, he says in Mark 16, to be, you know, to repent and be baptized. It grants you the legal right to be free of every demonic oppression. I remember we delivered a satanic person out of Satanism, and the demons would not leave her alone even after the salvation prayer was prayed, and the coven wouldn't leave them alone. But it's the craziest thing. When we baptized them, it all stopped. The coven stopped chasing her. I mean, the demonic voices began to pull back. I'm like, what? You know, and I realized the devil honors water baptism more than Christian does, because it is a covenant relationship. And, you know, sometimes that some churches or ministries, you know, just sprinkle or whatever, or baby baptism, those are not biblical. You know, do I want to be sprinkled with Jesus, or do I want to be buried with Jesus? That's why immersion is so important. Well, now you're going to get off on that doctrine. Look, it's pretty clear. I don't want part of me washed. I want all of me washed. You know, we're not talking about some ceremony that requires by your congregation, but we're talking about when we want deliverance, we want people to be totally baptized as believers. And, you know, if you're going to be free here, you got to be completely baptized in the water. And I think then go for baptism in the Holy Spirit as well. So if you retain your freedom, you must be baptized in the water of the Word and the water baptism that the Bible tells us to do. Okay, well, I didn't get to finish that topic. Maybe I'll pick it up a little bit tomorrow, and then we'll close out our last broadcast, our podcast, on this topic about hindrances to your deliverance. You're going to be free. I'm speaking that over you right now. Your relationship with Jesus is going to teach these things. Okay, have a great day. See you.